Today, page 83, chapter 2, the four doctrines of conversion. Four doctrines of convergence are kind of the classification of all Buddhist scripture in terms of their contents of the teaching. Tripitaka, shared, and distinctive, complete, four sections. All collections of Buddhist scriptures are classified into four: Tripitaka, shared, distinctive, and complete doctrines. I think Tripitaka doctrines means based on the Tripitaka Buddhist scripture and also the Kyoritsu Run Sutra and Shastra and Vinaya precepts, and emphasizing emptiness. The substance is emptiness and nothing to be born. No birth. So that is Tripitaka. So Tripitaka doctrines are based on the three sutra and Vinaya and also the Shastra. Shastra means commentaries and theses on Buddhist teaching. And also the shared doctrine means those doctrines of Buddhist scriptures are open to three bodhisattvas: Shuravaka, Pratika Buddha, and also Bodhisattva, those three. And emphasizing the Gokan Engi, I think teaching of interdependent co-origination in terms of individual karmic life. So that is a Gokan Engi. In the Buddhist scripture, Vijñānavāra, according to Vijñānavāra Yogacara, Buddhism emphasizes dharmas, 75 dharmas, or 100 kinds of dharma. Those 75 kinds of dharma or 100 means the analysis of phenomenal world. So phenomenal world consists of 75 dhamma or 100 kinds of dhamma. Those dhammas are the essential factor of existence, and create something. And also they are interconnected each other's, you know, they penetrated each other's. So what make them possible to create something? So cause of creation is individual karma, is an individual karma which we have accumulated in the past, since past. distinctive doctrine is quite different from the first two, Tripitaka and Shared, and also the complete next one. These doctrines obviously emphasizes the interdependent co-origination in terms of re means the absolute nature of existence. So pre-logical. Pretty different from the Tripitaka doctrines, and also shared doctrines, and also complete doctrines. So it's very theoretical. And also next is complete doctrine. Complete doctrine means the doctrine obviously emphasizes that the interdependent co-origination is taught with the absolute nature of existence, so-called Ri in Japanese. According to distinctive doctrines, they obviously emphasizing the interdependent co-origination in terms of the absolute nature of existence. But the complete doctrines obviously emphasizing interdependent co-origination with. Is that clear? Not in terms of. Obviously, at the theoretical teaching and also practical teaching is come together. So interdependent coordination is taught together with the absolute nature of existence. So the absolute and phenomena always come to one. That is complete the Saddhama Pundarika Sutra. Okay, so let's go one by one. Page 83, number one, Tripitaka doctrine. So first, the Tripitaka doctrine consists of three collections of scriptures. The general classification of Buddhist teaching. Sutra collections, four agamas of scriptures, Abhidhamma collection, the Abhidhamma Kosha, and Bibhasha, Shastra, etc. Number three, a Vinaya collection, Vinaya of the Five Schools. So, I think Tripitaka doctrines are based on the complete collection of a sutra, Buddhist scripture, and also Abhidhamma, and four Abhidhamma, and also Vinaya. This is the Tripitaka doctrine. Okay. These names, Tripitaka, applies to both the Mahayana and Hinayana. Now I shall take up the Hinayana Tripitaka. I think if you have a classification of the Buddhist scripture based on the Tripitaka, those Tripitakas they open to Hinayana and Mahayana. But in this case, he says he takes up Hinayana. Because in order to, here is the reason why the next sentence, Kachayamputra himself, with his brilliant mind, explained the meaning of Tripitaka in the Vibhasha Shastra, but hadn't read the Mahayana scriptures and therefore was not the great bodhisattva. I think the reason is the Tripitaka in this case depends on the Hinayana, which means trying to understand Buddhist the contents of the Buddhist teaching in terms of Abhidhamma kosha. Abhidhamma is the theoretical teaching originates from agama, four agamas are collection of Buddha's teaching, which are all just Buddhist scripture. So collections of the what Buddha mentioned. So it's very simple, teaching, and lots of stories there, but the lots of important Buddha's teaching there. Four Noble Truths, 12 Chains, Causations, etc. So, that's why in terms of Abhidhamma Kosha is very theoretical, psychological, lots of classification, analysis, analytical theories of Buddha's teaching there. So it's very, they try to explain the Buddha's teaching in detail, psychologically, philosophically. So that's why in this case, he tried to explain many doctrines, so-called Tripitaka doctrines, in terms of Abhidhamma Kosha, Abhidhamma, okay? Also, the Lotus Sutra says, the students of the Tripitaka being attached to Hinayana, therefore, based on these passages, the great master, Tenchai Chiche, designated Hinayana to be the Tripitaka doctrine. This is appropriate for the basic capacities of all three vehicles. First of all, I shall discuss members of the Shuravaka vehicle who depend on Four Noble Truths in relation to the arising and perishing of all things. So now, I think according to Abhidhamma Kosha, the Tripitaka tried to mention about the Four Noble Truths of origination and extinction of human life. Okay. Uh, Okay, in A, the Four Noble Truths, sufferings. I think this, let's go. Four Noble Truths, the first is the truth of suffering. As for suffering, the 25 kinds of existence. And 25 existence have two forms of retribution, direct and indirect. The 25 kinds of existence which we are talking about are the four continents, the four evil rebirths, the six heavens of the desire realm, and the Brahma heavens of the realm of form, the four meditation stages of the realm of a form, the four stages of the formless realm, the state of non-perceptions, and the category of the five non-returner, the anagamin states. Four continents plus four evil rebirths make eight. The six desire heavens together with the Brahma heavens make 15. The four meditation stages and the four formless states make 23. The heaven of non-perception and the anagamin heaven add up to 25. So, the state of the human existence are classified into 25 in this case. Okay. So, what is a word? Word is described as 25 state of existence. That is four kinds of continents. According to India. The old ancient. Mythology. Talking about the outlook on the world. Cosmology. The ancient cosmology in India. In the center, and Mount Meru, and surrounded by the nine seas and four different countries. Okay, so that is the cosmology, the ancient cosmology in India. In the top of the Mount Meru is called Tori Ten, etc. Anyway, later it comes out. Anyway, the four continents there. So, the four continents lies in the saline sea surrounding the Mount Meru, south Jambudvipa, where human beings exist. East, Purvavideha. West, Upper Gudamya. North, Uttarakura. Uttarakura. Those name explanation will come up later. And the four evil rebirths, hell, hungry ghost, animal, and asura, the fighting spirit. The six heavens of the desire, Lokyokten, that is the heavens of the heaven of the four quarter kings, and the heaven of the 33 gods, and the heaven of Yama, and the Tusita heaven, and also Kerak 10, and also another one is heavenly devils. Sanskrit, very long name there. So six are the kind of heavens, and mainly in the top of the Mount Sumeru is called Tori Ten, heaven of 33 gods exist. In the top of Mount Sumeru is Tori Ten, and the eight guardians exist in the each direction, the top of Mount Sumeru. The east and the west and north and south. So in all, 33 gods exist. That is a Tori Ten. Tusita Ten is a Tusita heaven. Tusita heaven is the mountains, the place where Buddha used to be there. So many bodhisattvas, who would be Buddha in the future, live there. Kind of like that. That is sixth. Kerak 10, and number five, in Sanskrit, I think Nirmanalati heaven. The Nirmanalati heaven means it provides various pleasures. That is the Kerak 10, Nirmanalati heaven. Number six, Paranirmita Vishavartin heaven. This is number six. It is the place where lots of devils exist there. Those devils prevent the people from doing something good. Okay, that is a place. So, okay, the number one is the heaven of the four quarter kings. That is a four quarter in the. Around the west and east and south and north, in each directions, the king, the guardian exists. There is four quarter kings protecting the Dharma, Okay, this is the six heavens, and the Brahma heavens is a god which exists in the heaven. And the four meditation, first stage of jhana, second stage jhana, third stage jhana, and fourth stage jhana. Okay. And also four stages of formlessness, that is the infinite of space, the infinite of mind, and nothingness to resort to. And number four, a state of concentration which goes beyond the matter of whether or not nothingness is allowed. So those eight is stages of jhana which you can reach, which you can experience through meditation. So I think the first stage of jhana, and that time you can experience at least the five things: vitarga, vitarga is awareness, and also vichara is observation or insight. Vichara, vichara, and priti, P-R-R-I-T-I, priti is joyfulness, and sukha, bliss, and sukha, S-U-K-H-A, sukha, bliss, samadhi, and concentration. So first stage of jhana, you can experience this, those five. So very naturally, you are going into a good state of human existence. The second stage, second stage of jhana, in the second stage, there are four: the serenity of mind, and joy, and sukha, and samadhi can exist. The vipaka vichara drop off. Vipaka vichara drop off. So no, vipaka vichara. The awareness and observation. I think vichara vitara is something more than that, you know, the thoughts or thoughts, and also investigations, kind of investigation and reflection, something like that. Investigation and reflection. Always seeking for something, okay, investigation. And also always looking at something objectively. Analyzing, synthesizing, that is a vichara vitara, we say. So the second stage of jhana, you are free from those. Okay? You're free. But in the first stage of jhana, you can see very clearly human world, clearly objectively. In other words, all world and are reflected in the mirror of your mind, which is very calm and tranquil. Everything reflected very clearly. So vichara vitara can be experienced. And joy and bliss and also concentration, tranquility there. But second stage of jhana, you can be free from that, you know, seeing the world objectively. You can put yourself first in the world, universe first. And then your life is seen from the world. But we don't do it in that way. We always see the world from us. This is natural. So that's why we always try to understand. And even though you understand it, that understanding comes from you. It's not broad, universal understanding. So that is a kind of cause of human suffering. It's a real big problem for us. So I think the Buddhism emphasizes the egolessness means practicing of egolessness is very important for us, but it's very difficult to practice because it's quite unusual than our usual lifestyle. It's very difficult. A usual lifestyle is based on always looking at the world from us, from individual, and understand individual comes first. We don't put ourselves first in the universe. So there is no relaxation and openness. So that is very rigid, very rigid. It seems to be clear and reasonable because the individual world can be understandable, reasonable in terms of individual capabilities and educations, and so world seems to be clear, understandable, reasonable. But I don't think it is right, complete understanding. So in order to practice egolessness, we have to put ourselves in the vast openness of existence. Then you are supported. You are really understand. Even though you don't try, the world lets you understand. So that's what Dogen Zenji mentions to Buddhists. And to study the Buddhism is to learn the self. To learn the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be confirmed by all sentient beings. This is very important for us, particularly in our day. In the modern civilization, this is very important. But we don't do it. The other day, the woman came to see, yesterday, the woman who practiced in Rochester, in New York, came to see me and talked about some problem and over there. Their group was separated, you know, in two. One group emphasizes always no form, except nothing, just sitting. No sectarians, except nothing. And the other one is obviously emphasizing form and following the form and chanting and etc. So obviously they are obviously looking at each other and poking their head into analyzing, synthesizing which is good, which is bad, and obviously one side is nothing, throw away everything. And it's very clear. The other one is using a form of fighting. And finally this side is of nothing, and it seems to be clear, life is clean, it seems to be wonderful, but she said decently, they are very arrogant. It's very interesting, isn't it? Arrogant. Very arrogant. Arrogant. Is that clear? So, you can you can contemplate this. You can consider this one very interesting. It seems to be clear because nothing, just like a Krishnamurti, you know, nothing to depend on. Exactly clear. Sit down. If you want, you can do it. But if you don't want, that's all right. Just sit down. Okay? Nothing. But it is kind of a form. Finally, it becomes a form. And then they attach to that form, then ego coming up. So very naturally that is really arrogant attitude toward nothingness. That's why in Madhyamika, Nagarjuna mentions about 16 kinds of emptiness. Something more than 16 kinds of emptiness we have to constantly emphasize nothingness again and again, because if you see the human world, which is exactly nothing to depend on, absolutely nothing. But if we say absolutely nothing, then we depend on the nothing, which is nothing but provisional existence. Because you put the name on. If you put the name on, you can see that the essential factor of the nothingness, existence, so-called nothingness. So that is essential factor of existence. That is emptiness. But that emptiness is provisional existence because you put the name on it. If you don't put the name on it, you don't understand it. There is no opportunity to understand, to approach. That's why we try to put the name on it. But if you use a name, it's nothing but provisional existence. So that's what human beings always depend on, consciously or unconsciously. This is a very good case, in our days, you can see, you can consider. So that is very interesting. In the dualistic world, all this that kind of things happens. Okay.
Should I
explain the third stage? Third stage of jhana is characterized by these bliss and mindfulness and joy. The third stage is characterized by the being free from the joy and bliss. You can experience joy in the second stage, but in the third stage of jhana, you are not carried away by joy and bliss. It's very, you can experience it, but you are not influenced by or tossed by. So always there is concentration, mindfulness there. The fourth is completely just concentration there. You can be free from the joy and bliss, etc. Okay, that's a simple explanation. And also, if you keep practicing jhana, very naturally you can go beyond the beginning four stages, and then you can enter into another four stages, that is the infinite of space. So you can see the real vastness of space, infinite. And the infinite of mind, the space means that the world is infinity, okay? Eternal world, you can see. And then infinity of the mind, that is, the world is not something different from us, it is a mind and a heart, so infinity of mind. And third, nothingness to resort to. So you understand the world is nothingness. The world is empty. But you can see completely nothing not to resort to. You can see the nothingness in proper way. That is number three. Number four, the state of concentration which goes beyond the matter whether or not nothingness is allowed. So you can go beyond nothingness. In other words, you are exactly alive, right in the middle of the essential nature of existence based on nothingness. So that is the four stages of formlessness. And the state of non-perception, that's why next you can reach a state of jhana, so-called non-perceptions. And then you reach the arhat, saint, Buddhist saint, the five non-returner, the fifth, this is non-returner. Okay, that is a simple explanation. So 25 existence there, and next paragraph, specifically, then there are 25 kinds of existence. More generally, then there are six conditions of evil rebirth. That is the sixth karic condition of existence we call rokudo. So I think this section doesn't explain of each in detail in each of 25 existence, but in general the 25 existence is described as six conditions of existence. That is hell, animal, and hungry ghost, asura, human, and heaven. Six. Okay. I think this is in the Tendai, or we studied before the awakening of faith. The study of those scriptures are very helpful because you can learn the meaning of word used by the technical term six conditions of existence, and the hells, and hungry gods, fighting spirits, etc. So you can learn the term, special term, and also definition, and also in the Buddhism, how we understand hell and devils, and etc. It's very interesting for us, but I think this Tendai Shikyogi, this textbook is kind of not much interesting, you know, because nothing but the classification made by the Chi-yi, you know, the great teacher of Tendai school in those days. But I think through this, you just learn lots of a term which occurs in Buddhist history, and you can learn the definition of the terms and also how Buddhism deal with those words, the hells, angry ghosts, etc., and how they can be free from those words. And the later practice aspect of teaching will be explained. So those lots of terms comes up, like Abhidhamma Kosha. That's why here, Tripitaka doctrines is explained in terms of Abhidhamma Kosha. That's why lots of terms come up. So you should be get used. You should get used of those terms. It's very helpful, even though you don't understand it. That's fine. For instance, the next explanation, the hell, you can know how the Buddhism they explain and deal with hell. So in Sanskrit, number one, hell. In Sanskrit, hell is called Naraka, or Niraya. In Chinese, it is translated as an instrument of torture. The reason that we call it earthly prison, that is a literal meaning, literal translation of hell. In Japanese, we call it jigoku. Ji means the earth, goku means prison. So that's why earthly prison is that it lies beneath the earth. So hell lies beneath the earth. As for hell, it is said that there are 16 great prisons, 8 cold and 8 hot, to which innumerable sub-hells are connected. So mainly 8 cold and 8 hot. That is, I don't know what kind of stuff there. 8 cold means a very excessive state of existence. Cold, hot. So you are frozen, you freeze, and you are burnout, very excessive. Emotionally or physically, anyway, you froze. It doesn't work. Your life doesn't work. And also, you excited too much, or you are really upset, you know, emotionally, that is a hot. Those are called hell. And also, those situation, those conditions appears in many ways because cold and hot has lots of innumerable sub-hells. In other words, friends. They have lots of friends and boys and girls and lots of relatives there. Okay, so innumerable sub-hells there. That's why when you see a certain situation of emotional hot or emotional cold, at that time you are very confused. You don't know how to deal with, and you don't know what kind of emotion is, from where it comes. You don't know. It's very complicated. So that's why briefly
It says like this. So those, that's why definition of the hell is the eight cold and eight hot with numerous sub hells connected. Those who suffer within these hells receive their retribution according to their previous deeds. So they can receive this kind of word according to their own past life. That is a karma, previous deeds. Okay. Each being has his own degree and length of suffering to go through. That's why many kinds of degree and also length of suffering. How long we have to suffer, we don't know. In my village of my temple, there was an interesting old woman who was very kind and helping the priest and really offering her life. She died at 86, almost 87. Okay. She was very kind, just like a bodhisattva. But she suffered a lot from families, from friends, and she herself is very nice, but she suffered a lot from others and families. Until her death. But she was a wonderful person. I don't know. We don't know how long we should suffer. We don't know. There is no complete, guarantees. If you are a good guy or good person, you never suffer. You can't say so. I don't know. Or if you do something wrong, you are hell. You should go to hell. I don't know. You cannot say so either. So it depends on the degree and length of the individual karmic life. So in many ways, human life appears in many ways. So that's why he says those who suffer within these hells receive their retribution according to their previous deeds, karma. Each being has his own degree and length of suffering to go through. In the most serious case, one goes through 84,000 births and deaths each day for an infinite period of time. How interesting it is, 84,000 lives and deaths each day. If your life is very bad case, very serious case, very interesting. Those who commit the five deadly wrongs, the most serious case means, in Buddhism we say gogyaku, five deadly wrongs and the 10 evils. In Buddhism we say the five deadly wrongs means patricide and matricide and killing a saint and also shed the blood of a Buddha's body and also destroy the harmony in the Sangha. Those are five deadly wrong deeds. If you do it, your life has to go through 84,000 lives and deaths each day. That is the called karmic life, which will go toward the future. So that's why it's constantly samsara. The 10 evil is killing and stealing, adultery and lying, crude speech, telling a conflicting account, and superficial talk, covetousness, anger, wrong views. Those are 10 evils which occurs in the 42, Sutra of 42. And also Brahma Sutra, Brahma Net Sutra. You can see those, you can see the explanation of the 10 evils in detail. Okay. Second animals. Secondly, there is a rebirth as an animal. Or beast. This form of rebirth is found everywhere from the hells up to the fifth heavens. I think in Tendai school, I think six category of existence or six conditions of existence. Each condition of existence has rest of the condition of existence. So each category of existence has rest of the 10 categories of existence. So in the hell, there are hells and hungry ghosts, the beast, hungry ghost and the devil fighting spirit, bodhisattvas, heavenly beings, and also Buddha, bodhisattva and Buddha too. So still possibility to be saved in hell. So that is Tendai, according to Tendai teaching. Ichinen Sanzen, we say. Ichinen Sanzen means in one thought, in a single thought, the 3,000 words are completely manifested. 3,000 words means 10 categories. Each category of 10, each category of existence has rest of the categories of existence. So, and also those are, and then those are seen in terms of a triple world. The past, present, future. So finally we say 3,000 words come up. Okay. In a moment. In a one single thought. So that's why it's very complicated. Even though you think something beautiful, but it's not exactly beautiful. Very complicated. For instance, in one moment, first moment when you get up in the morning, that is very simple thought coming up, but it's very complicated. Very complicated. It's not so simple. So, you know, in one moment, one thought, there are 3,000 words appears. And also, when you physically, you can say when you get up in the morning and get into the car and start the engine and start to drive, and then how many cells, you know, of your body start to work. But physically it's simple. Your body just move. But inside, millions cells start to work. I don't remember exactly how many cells, you know, start to work.
it's amazed. This is human bodies.
So it's very complicated.
Emotion and memories, but consciousness. Consciousness is working simply, but on the other hand, consciousness is very complicated. Related with the memories and the emotions and which has come from your past life and your karmic deeds. So it's very complicated. Memories, enormous memories there. Consciously or unconsciously, lots of memories are stuffed up in your head. It's huge memories there. And you create the emotions related with the memories, related with your intellectual sense. So emotions are very deeply rooted. So we don't know. It's very complicated. You have to take lots of time to learn each emotions, each manifestation of human life, what it is. It really takes time. Not only the understanding the surface of emotion, surface of life, but you have to understand the depth, the root of emotions, the root of memories and etc. So it's pretty big project there. You have to learn.
So, this form of rebirth is found everywhere through from the hells up to the fifth heavens. Those covered with hair, wearing horns, having scales and shells, having feathers, those with our feet or many feet, with feet or without feet, living in the water, on land, and in the air, eating and swallowing each other's. That's interesting. Eating, swallowing each other's. This is the animal's world. Well, this is exactly what human beings does. Eating, swallowing each other, killing. You know the. Can you feel the deers is sometimes put on top of the car and driving and you can see the deers and the bears and killed on the top of the car and carrying it. Wow, I don't know. How do you feel this one? We are just killing. Just killing animals as a sport. It is very sorry for the animals. But animals' life is very serious. Even though lions kill the deers, but for them, it is very serious life. But human beings always deal with animals and deers as a sport or as a fun. So, and that's why if you deal with the animal like that, very naturally you can deal with the human beings like this. So very naturally, kill the people pretty easily, as for the fun. So look at the human world now. All this killing. So, animals, we are kind of animals, killing, eating, and swallowing each other.
They suffer endlessly. That's why we suffer endlessly. If you do that anyway, we suffer endlessly. Who, due to ignorance and desire. Ignorance is a very basic ignorance. In Buddhism, ignorance means very basic ignorance, not usual ignorance. Basic ignorance means why did your consciousness immediately vibrate? We don't know why. Okay,
So that is something you don't know. You cannot touch it. This is a basic ignorance. Not clear. There is always something not clear. Even though you say teaching of emptiness, what is it? Can't you explain it? Sure, you can explain it, but it's not still clear. It's not still clear. So always there is something not clear because your consciousness is vibrated. Your consciousness moved. Very naturally, world separated. Then if you separate, you create, it means you create a gap between. That's why in that gap, there is something you don't understand it. Because we always pay attention to the two things separated by you. So you don't pay, you don't know what's going on between. But Buddhism tried to know that between, including not only the between separated from two beings, you know, analyzed by human beings, but including all, you have to see. Okay? Those who, due to ignorance and desire means greed, connected with thirsty desire. Okay. Commit the five deadly wrongs and the ten evils. Evils to a moderate degree. Suffer the fate of this reverse. In the hell, I think your suffering is very serious. But in the animal world, suffering is not so serious. It is a little moderate situation there. Okay. I think if you read this one, you will understand it.